Let people be seen. All right, praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen.
This is the Father's house.
Yes.
This is not the hog pen.
No way.
There is peace in the house.
Yes.
Joy in the house.
Yes.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Salvation in the house.
Yes.
Prosperity in the house.
Yes.
Everything you need is in the house.
Yes.
Everything you want is in the house.
Yes.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it. And if it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning in Jesus' name. Give us a spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Amen.
All right, we're on the book of Acts. Unless we get into Revelations. All roads lead to Revelations. Yeah. All roads lead to Revelation. One of my favorite places in the book of Acts is chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, down to 4, of course. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It was the birth of the church. Anybody ever heard that before?
Yeah.
This was the birth of the church. This is where the church was born. It was the creation of a new day. It was the creation of a new dispensation.
Yeah.
Creation of the most wonderful dispensation this world has ever seen.
Born in power.
Yes, absolutely right. Born in power. No question about it. That's good.
Born in power.
That is power.
Whoa. Now, Pentecost has given rise, of course, to the word Pentecostal, which we Pentecostals and Charismatics understand. And most everybody understands that Pentecostals believe in the Pentecostal blessing, right? Believe in what happened at the day of Pentecost. We don't believe it stopped. Mm-hmm. We don't believe that was a one-time event, right?
Pentecostal,
the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, the Spirit gave the utterance, as the Spirit gives the utterance. That wasn't a one-time event. We still do that, right? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we Pentecostals should understand Pentecost better than we do in order to explain it to skeptics that don't understand and many times do not want to understand. But we need some teaching on this. We need more teaching on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I want us to consider this morning, chapter 2, verse 1 in particular. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. And then it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let's skip down real quick to verse 14. And it says, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, was this, actually it says, now when this, verse 6 says, when this was noised abroad. There's, most of us have just sort of taken for granted the idea that somehow or other there was no significant lapse of time between verse 1 and, well, chapter 2, verse 4, for example, and verse 6, when it says, now this, when this was noised abroad, that we just have sort of taken for granted that this all happened just poof, bang, at the same time.
In a few minutes.
Yeah, like in a few minutes. Actually, it didn't happen that way.
Dr. Rock.
Did not happen that way. There was a whole half a day between that time. Now, why do you suppose your King James Bible says, is anybody in here got something besides King James?
I got a New American Standard. Well, actually,
you got a what?
Simplified.
What is your American? You got an American Standard? What does it say? Verse 1.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
All right. What does your Amplified version say, sister?
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together
okay.
in one place.
Why would we? Why there is something that's suggested here about the time sequence of events in this verse when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, Brother Copeland has got a notation here in verse 1, and I've got Brother Copeland's personal notes. Addition. He says somewhere around 7 to 8. o'clock. And I'm sure that he means a.m. And I've added to that p.m. It wasn't in the morning when the day of Pentecost was fully come. When did the day begin? Well, this is important. See, we need to understand this. When did the Jewish day begin?
Sunday.
Actually, let me instruct you just a little bit on that. The ancient Hebrews did not know for sure when their day began. They did not know for sure. They were sure that before sundown, it was still the previous day. And they were sure that by the time the third star came out at night, that it was the following day.
Okay.
What they did not know for sure what to do about was the twilight period.
My goodness.
They didn't know for sure where to put that. Whether it belonged to the day that was going out or whether it belonged to the day that was coming in. So for certain things, it belonged to both days. Certain things they could do because it was the day, it belonged to the day going out, and certain things they could only do after it was gone because it belonged to the day coming, they could still do because it belonged to the day coming in. So so they never did figure that, and they still don't know. This is important because the scripture says when the day of Pentecost had fully come. If you're looking at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, you don't say anything like that. The day is done half over already. It's half over. You don't say the day of Pentecost had fully come. It's half gone already by 9 o'clock in the morning. If you started in the evening at twilight, by 9 o'clock in the morning, the day is half gone already. It's over half gone. So there's something suggested here in the King James translation that's important, and when you look at the Greek, it's even better. George Ricker Berry, in his Berry's Interlinear Greek English New Testament, translates it this way: and during the accomplishing of the day of Pentecost, Wiest translates the Greek this way. And when the day of Pentecost was in process of being fulfilled. Darby translates it, and when the day of Pentecost was now accomplishing. The Disciples' Literal New Testament translates it, and during the day of Pentecost being fulfilled. And Young's literal translation says, and in the day of the Pentecost being fulfilled. So what you're talking about is that there was something. It was happening. It was coming in, which makes us understand. If you're Hebrew and you think about the twilight period, which you don't know what to do with, this is the way you describe it. The day of Pentecost is coming in. Okay, this is the twilight period. This is the way you describe it. This is actually this word right here. Sumpli raustai is a Greek word that's used only three times in the New Testament, and it's always used by Luke. It's used twice by Luke in Luke, and it's used once by Luke in Acts chapter 2. And it always means when something is in the process of happening. For example, he uses it in Luke 8:23. And there it says, "But as they were sailing along," this is the New American Standard, "as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger." Now, in other words, as the boat was filling up with water, they began to be swamped and were beginning to come into danger. Now, sometimes you see that translated, and the boat was filled with water or something like that. That's wrong, because if the boat had filled up, they would have sunk. They would have sunk. But it wasn't full, it was filling up. The water was coming into the boat, and they were afraid because they were afraid it would fill up. It hadn't filled up, but they'd been at the bottom. So it was filling up. So this is the same type of situation that you're dealing with Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was coming in. It hadn't come in completely. It was still coming in. It was twilight. It was the old day was going out and the new day was coming in. Let's go to another example. The other example of when this is used like this is Luke 9:51. It's also translated by the New American Standard Bible. "When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem." Now, in neither of those cases does the word signify completed action. Because when the day had come for his ascension, he'd already been crucified. 40 days after he rose from the dead, that's when he ascended. 40 days after he rose from the dead. And here he hadn't even been crucified yet. So it says, as the days were approaching for his ascension. It hadn't arrived yet. The day for his ascension had not arrived, because he hadn't even gone to Jerusalem to be killed yet. So as the days were approaching for him to suffer and be and ascend into heaven, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. In none of those cases does it signify completed action. In every case, it signifies what some of these translations have laid out, that it was in the process of coming in. It was in the process of happening. Which in the Hebrew mind, in the Jewish mind, could only be in the twilight. Could only be twilight. So the old day was going out, and the new day was coming in, which was Pentecost. When the third star came out at night, it would have fully come. And it would have been Pentecost in everybody's mind. There would not have been any question or doubt in anybody's mind that it was now Pentecost. But in that twilight period between sundown and the third star, there was some question about what day it was. That's why the Greek says, as the day of Pentecost was being accomplished, as it was coming in. Now, in our time, you know, the way we do it, there is as the moment that the clock strikes midnight, bam, new day. It's not a new day till the moment the clock strikes. Then instantly it's a new day. That is not the way it worked in the Bible. Not the way it worked in the Bible at all. Forget that. So now we see that something was happening, that what happened at Pentecost, that what happened when the Holy Ghost came, it was a nighttime event. It was an evening event. It was in the darkness. It was in the gathering dusk. Some other things happened, and we said just a minute ago it was a creationary event. It's a creationary event, okay? Created a new day. It created a new man. Created a new man was created. The new creature was born. The church of God as the new man. came into being, had never existed before. It was creationary. Now we talk about Genesis chapter 1, which is the beginning of creation as we understand of all things visible. And we see that it's totally biblical. What I've just told you is totally biblical. Your Bible says, somebody got Genesis chapter 1. Let's see. You can start. Start with verse 1 and read down a couple of verses there, if you would, please.
Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Keep reading, brother, if you would, please.
Okay. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
There you go. So, we got six of those. Mm-hmm. In 6 days, all things were created, right?
Yeah.
Six of those. So, he creates. One thing God didn't create was darkness. Darkness was here. It was already here. Nowhere does it say that God created darkness. It was already here. God created light, which gets rid of darkness. Okay.
Amen.
He didn't create darkness. It's already here.
The light that he spoke, I believe, was Christ.
That's right. Well, okay. That brings us to something. When did he create the sun and the moon?
Fourth day.
Where does evening and morning come from if you don't even have a sun and a moon? All right, but when is Christ dark?
What?
He's never dark. So this is a mystery. Mm-hmm. This is a great mystery.
Since it came in the evening, when Pentecost happened in the evening, okay, which I think that the actual Holy Ghost came about 3 a.m, he overcame the darkness because this was part light and part darkness.
Well, now I just taught that the Holy Ghost came in the evening.
Right.
I just want us to be sure we're on the same page here. So I know what you're thinking. But anyhow, so we're talking about when the Lord created all things, he created them not in the middle of the night,
right,
not at 3 o'clock in the morning. He created them in the evening. In the evening. Mm-hmm. What did it say again, that last verse you read? Number 5.
Yeah, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night.
And
the evening and the morning were the first
day. Okay, so the evening and the morning were the first day.
Mm-hmm. The twilight and the dawn were the first day.
The evening. Here is, let's see, if they've got some people here that translate it differently, I'd like to go to some of these other translations. I've got my own translation, which is
reading a different translation.
Yeah, I know. You're right. There are translations that translate it differently. Actually, when you read that, the Hebrew can literally be translated, and I like this best, after every creation, whatever he created, sun and moon, stars, water. I mean, not water, but because it was here already. But he made the land appear, trees, creatures, animals, people. After every creation, he says that same thing, that same formula. And it was evening and it was morning the first day. Now, you can say that the Hebrew actually literally can be translated this way. And it was evening, period. Then there was morning. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on and so forth. So it was evening. He says what he created, and he says, and it was evening. Then there was morning. Day 1. So you have the evening first. And he creates everything in the evening. And then you have morning, and then you have another creation. So everything that's created is created in the evening. Everything is created in the evening. There is another example of the creationary, when God uses, when creationary things happen in the evening. For example, in the Old Testament, where God made a covenant with Abraham, and as we refer to that as the covenant of the pieces. Actually, the Old Testament records two supernatural fire incidents that foreshadow the fire event on the day of Pentecost. The first was the sealing of the covenant between God and Abram. It was after Abram had cut up the pieces of the animals that he offered at God's instructions. Abram fell into a deep sleep as the sun was going down. Genesis 15:13. As the twilight set in, God spoke to Abram, promising deliverance to his descendants. As full darkness came on, a flame of fire passed among the pieces of the sacrifice. And Jehovah made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Under thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Genesis 15:18. Again, when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and Asherah on Mount Carmel to a duel, it was in the twilight that Jehovah answered by fire. Mm-hmm. Baal's prophets called upon their gods from midday until sundown, the time of the offering of the Tamid in the temple, mm-hmm. which was during the twilight. Yeah. 1 Kings 18:29. And Elijah just sat back and watched them. You remember the story? They jumped upon, they prayed and they cried and they yelled and they screamed and they jumped and then jumped upon the altar and they cut themselves and all kinds of things. And only and after they wore themselves out and the time came for God to really do something, there was a time. See, God has seasons. There is a set time for God to work, and he does work on schedule. Only then did Elijah make his move. He repaired the altar and his offering and approached it to call upon God. Then just as the priests in the temple in Jerusalem were lighting the incense, the fire of Jehovah fell from heaven, lighting up the dusk over Mount Carmel, and consumed the sacrifice and the altar. So, and it was also when Daniel was praying, when Daniel received the prophecy of the 70 weeks, greatest prophecy in the Bible. When Daniel received the prophecy of the 70 weeks, it was he makes it clear that it was at the time of the evening offering that Gabriel came to him and delivered the greatest prophecy in the Bible. It was at the time he'd been praying. He had been praying. But it was at the time of the evening offering. It was as the dusk was setting that Gabriel came and delivered this great prophecy to him. This is a propitious time between the stars. It's a creationary period. And it's the time, and we can see that that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost, that God used that particular time of the day to create the new day.
Amen.
To create the new man. Mm-hmm. To create the church of the living God. Mm-hmm. It was at that moment. It was at that time. Mm-hmm. The old dispensation was clearing out.
Right.
The new dispensation was now coming in.
So you're saying the rapture might be in the afternoon, the twilight?
It most likely will be for somebody. It will be for somebody. It can hardly be for everybody. But Jesus did say, "You know not what time I'm coming, whether it be evening or morning or whatever it is." So he didn't promise us that it was going to be at twilight.
I've always been confused about the where he said one will be plowing, you know, and the other will be taken, and one will be in the bed asleep.
Right, right,
and
right.
I heard the other day because of the different time zones. When the rapture takes place,
you know,
one might be asleep, and one might be out in the field plowing. But when he comes,
because one part, it's like over in the United States, like you were talking about just a minute ago, when the 1 minute strikes past 12, it's a new day, but yet over in Central Time, it's still not.
That's right.
When you go to Eastern Time, it's still not.
That is true.
Israel's our time.
That is most likely the case. I think whenever we think about the timing of events, we need to key in to where the sun is with relation to Israel, to Jerusalem. That really would seem to be the wise thing to do. That we're on Jerusalem time. It would seem that when these great events take place, we're talking about in Jerusalem time. We would think about that. But anyway, so that's what happened. So when the Holy Ghost came, they all spoke with tongues. At 9 o'clock in the morning, when Peter got up to deliver his message, that was not the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost. They had already been filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
They had all that was already that. And so people say, well, you know, that just happened so that, you know, everybody that was there could hear them speak in their language. No. That's not what tongues is for. That is not what tongues is about. Tongues is so that nobody understands. When you speak with tongues, nobody's supposed to understand. That's what it's about. Nobody understands tongues. Paul said that. Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man but unto God.
That's right.
Because no man understands him.
That's right.
What part of no man understandeth does no man understand? So when Paul said no man understands tongues, he meant no man understands tongues. So when the Holy Ghost came at evening time on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke with tongues which nobody understood. Now the next morning, at 9 o'clock in the morning, when they went to church, when they went down to the temple, at 9 o'clock in the morning was the time the temple doors were open and the worshipers were allowed in. That's when Peter said, it's the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And that's when he delivered his message. So at that time, yes, they were prophesying. They were prophesying because people understood them. If they'd been speaking in tongues then, nobody would have understood them then either. Prophecy is to be understood. Tongues is not to be understood. Even the devil don't understand tongues. Nobody understands tongues.
That's the reason why there's such a war against it.
The devil hates it because it's for one thing, it's the mark of the New Testament. It is the sign of the New Covenant. As long as the church is on the earth, we're going to speak with tongues.
Amen.
We're going to speak with tongues till the church is raptured. Glory to God. All right. Praise the Lord.